Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, it is Mainstream Metaphysics, and I am Nick Newmont. And it is Tuesday night in Los Angeles, and I think we're going to get rain again. We were talking about rain last week, too, and here we go again. Welcome to the show. If you're listening in or watching on Facebook Live, as I said, I'm Nick Newmont. I'm a psychic astrologer. Tonight, I'm going to do a lot more astrology than I have in the past, and there are a couple main issues that I want to talk about. And back as my guest again is Sheena Metal.
Hi. You, Sheena. Pleasure to be here. Love it.
Yeah, love having you on. I think it's, as time goes on, you'll see. I'll be on Sheena's show. She'll be on my show.
Yeah. And you've been on my show since I was here last.
Right.
We're going to keep doing that.
Exactly. So we're having a good time, and I love sharing insights with Sheena. I love her opinions. I like her intuition.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I listen to you even when I'm not in the studio, and I listen how you advise people, and I like the way that you refer to yourself as a spiritual advisor.
Yeah, counselor.
Right. I know you're a psychic. I know you're tuned in. I know you. All the channels are open. You had more channels than Sirius XM.
Exactly. Sheena. I know. I've got all those channels, and who knows what to do with them all. Like when you have the Spectrum cable, and there's like 500 channels, and you use 10.
Right.
What do I do with like channel 502? What is that even happening there? Yeah.
And there's you go down the dial on Sirius XM. There's some interesting channels.
Yeah, it gets bizarre.
Yeah, it really does.
But you know, I consider myself basically to be a counselor and a minister at my core. So to me, the work that I do is my ministry, and I do it to help people. And what people need, I design my particular spiritual periphery based on what people need and not what I think is going to make me a rock star. So
right. Well, it's not about us.
No.
It's about them.
Yeah. It's about service.
Exactly. You know, when I did your show the last time and listening to your callers, what I'm hearing in it's different words, but I'm hearing a lot of fear where the people are afraid to do something or afraid they can't get past something in their past. We are always changing and always evolving. And there's an old saying that the more things change, the more they stay the same. That's actually false. The more we think things are staying the same, the more they're changing. And you can see here, I've got a couple charts printed out. I'm very vigilant about the planetary alignments that are coming in January with Pluto and Saturn in the sign of Capricorn conjuncting each other, meaning they're right on top of each other, and that will be followed by Jupiter joining in, you know, a couple months into the year. When I look at the chart of the country and I see Pluto and Saturn in the area of where the country earns its money. In other words, this is the area of the country's intrinsic values. For those of you that are astrologers in some form, the second house is possessions, where we earn, and of course, what we really value in life. And when Saturn and Pluto conjunct, this means there's a karmic transformation. This means that there is change coming, and change that's due, and change that needs to happen. And it's going to shake things up pretty good. When Saturn and Pluto align with each other, it only happens every 38 years. And it usually tears things down a bit, not to where it's overly destructive, but there is sort of a leveling off, and then it has to rebuild. And so I think we're going to have to, and on this one, Sheena, your insights are helpful too. I think we're going to see a correction or an adjustment into our financial system. Mm. Now, I'm not saying the stock market yet. That's a different chart. I think that the way finances are handled or the currency that we use, I think we're in for a big shift in 2020. in terms of money and what this country does with money. Now, the other thing that's going to happen is that the planet Pluto, which is transformation, by the way, it takes Pluto 248 years to go around a chart. Most of us don't live that long, but in the chart of the United States, we'll feel in 2020 Pluto aligning with itself. And this is something that, and I'm also interested in reading what other professional astrologers are saying about this, because for the country to have a Pluto return, when Pluto rules death and rebirth, afterlife, you know, metaphysics, paranormal, transformation, which is the big word, and transition, this means that in this country, we're going to see a big shift. You know, to have a Pluto return, this means we're going back to something that is the essence of this country 248 years ago, roughly.
Absolutely. And I think you can feel that shift coming, that feel of people starting to use the revolution word more and more, which I think is terrifying. But I think that people want things done a different way, and they don't want to wait to do it. They want it done. We're an instant gratification world now. We want, you know, in this country, we want everything done yesterday. We don't want to wait to go through all the channels to make the changes. We want the changes made immediately.
Right. We have gotten away from process.
Yes.
And when we shift a little
diplomacy.
In diplomacy. When we talk about the crown chakra, the one that's noted to be the spiritual one, there's an upper vibration to the crown chakra, which is peace of mind, life purpose, personal identity, like who am I on a bigger scale. But there's a lower vibration to the crown, which is process, patience, and perseverance. Mm. And a lot of people don't like that.
Yeah.
But we can't get here, the upper vibe, unless we go through the lower vibe. It just doesn't work. So,
well, that's a grounding vibe. Those are the grounding things about your crown.
Right.
Grounding things are not necessarily a bad thing.
Not at all.
But I think we've seen, and we were talking about this before the show, we've seen what happens when you elect a president that just does whatever he wants without any going through the proper channels. And we've also seen that there are people in our country that love that like that idea.
Right. Well, the issue in the country, and I'll talk about the planet Uranus in a moment where this comes into play, it doesn't matter what side of the fence people are on. We're too polarized right now. That's a big part of the problem. Mm-hmm. We have extreme right, extreme left.
Yes.
And we have to come to the middle if we want things to be fixed.
Exactly.
Fixed properly.
So true.
So we're in for big changes in 2020. And isn't just rhetoric, and it's not just looking at planets on paper. I mean, this is coming. And also, when Saturn rules government, big business, you know, the corporate part of us, when Saturn aligns with Pluto, that means there is a transformation of how things are done in the real world. You know, Pluto trumps Saturn, okay? It changes the structure of things, because Saturn is all about longevity and stability. It's our interaction with the environment. Saturn rules the 10th house in astrology, which is career, reputation, success. It's the Capricorn house. Mm-hmm. It is the one that's the most grounded of all the 12 houses. So in other words, we're going to have a bit of a shaking that's going on here.
During Capricorn.
In the sign of Capricorn. Mm-hmm. And when you put Pluto and Saturn in Capricorn, that is a bucket of ice water in the face. It really is. It's cold. And so this is going to be a wake-up call. As an astrologer, do I see this as destructive? No. I'm not saying that at all. I just think that there's karma that's going to be paid. That's what this is. Saturn and Pluto, a karmic transformation. Mm. And it's something that is due.
I agree. And I think also in people's personal lives, I think a lot of my clients have talked about how 2019 kicked everyone's butt. I think everybody thought that in 2016, 17, and 18. In 19, I think the most of all, was a very difficult year for people in their interpersonal relationships with people. And I think we're going to see a lot of that break in 2020, and there's going to be a lot more ascension and then the following serenity. because it's been a very tumultuous year with people having breakups, friends, lifelong friends not talking to each other anymore. A lot of my clients have gone through situations with stalkers. I mean, just insanity of people just kind of losing their minds and taking it out on other people.
Well, the other part that comes into this is Jupiter, which is all about growth, luck, expansion. Jupiter is the antithesis of Saturn, where Saturn squeezes everything. Jupiter expands it. Jupiter rules Sagittarius, which is spirituality and wisdom. Mm. So when Jupiter begins to catch up to Saturn and Pluto, now we have the room for growth is coming into play. But here's the interesting thing. When you put Jupiter and Pluto close together, and this is happening in an election year, then that's power struggles. Mm. That's Jupiter and Pluto is like crowning the king.
Yeah.
So there's going to be something that happens. Here's the other way I've said this too. I've said it to a lot of my clients and friends. With Pluto and Saturn together, this is my phraseology, we're going to find out where the bodies are buried.
Mm.
And that's
it's time.
Right. It's like the movie Poltergeist at the end. They forgot to exhume the bodies over that housing
popping
development.
Up out of the pool.
Exactly.
It's going to happen.
Right.
So drain your pools, people.
And I think that we're going to find out
what's
underneath all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you talk about Pluto, if you get into the references to Pluto, it's really the river Styx, which is in Hades, you know, and paying the talisman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all that comes into play when you bring mythology in with astrology. So we're gonna find out where everything is.
Yeah. And I think I always reference on my show, the country music song, you find out who your friends are. This
right.
is 2019. It's definitely been a year where you find out who your friends are. And that's a good thing, I think, because I think it's a lot of a hard thing for humans to do is to shed out the things they no longer need in their lives. We hold on to things. We're people hoarders.
Well, when Pluto does what it does and it creates transformation, of course, Pluto's going to sit on Pluto. Here's the good part about Pluto. It's not like an earthquake where everything is, oh my God. Pluto moves so slow because it's the planet that's the furthest away that it gives you time to see it coming.
Yeah.
All right? Pluto is, and this is the way my astrology teacher put it, is that it's like a steamroller that's paving behind you, but it's going very slowly. So as long as you're moving forward, you're okay. But if you turn around and try to stop Pluto, then you're going to get pancaked. And it's like,
yes.
And the way I tell people, because I like to, you know, for this, I'm using the language, you know, we use. For my clients, I soften it a bit. And it's like, Pluto makes us become what we need to become.
Yeah.
That's the way I like to look at it. It makes us evolve, and that's and we are evolving. So we've got some intense stuff that's coming up, and this is the chart of this country. It's simply there it is, you know. Now the other thing I was looking at, and we'll come back to that, is that there's an event that's happening in the chart of the New York Stock Exchange that happens every 30 years, and it could cause the chart, the NYSE to go underground a bit.
Mm.
In other words, there's this sort of emotional rebirth that's going on. The other thing about the stock exchange chart is that in the area that has to do with its reputation, last year Uranus went in there, which means the reputation is shaky.
Mm.
Okay? It doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean it's good. It means that things are going back and forth. There's a level of volatility in terms of its reputation, not in the area of money. See, I'm not saying that the money part is going to go insane. I'm saying people's perception of the stock market is wavering and going to get kind of polarized. So that's the kind of thing I want to keep my eye on, because that involves a lot of money where people have their money.
Mm.
In terms of the country, you know, this is a time where it's time for all people everywhere to wake up, okay? It's time to come to consciousness. And again, for me, I don't care where people sit in terms of a political fence. It doesn't matter.
No,
it's
nor
like,
to me.
This is a whole country, mm-hmm. and everybody's got to wake up and see what's going on. Because, and with this arrangement that we're going to have in January, I think that anybody who's not doing what they're supposed to do, they're going to find out either, they're going to find out what they're not doing right, and they're going to find out simultaneously what they need to do to make it right. So there's sort of some forgiveness there. But in an arrangement like this, especially in the first few months of 2020, if people kind of go, oh, you know, like that, oh, then it's not going to be pretty for individuals that do that, who think, and I'm talking about everyday people. I'm not even talking about politicians at this point. I'm talking about anyone who's just arrogant and egotistical. It's like, that doesn't apply to me.
Yeah.
This applies to everybody because this is in the sky, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is, and we are a connected consciousness, and we
absolutely
do interact with the energy of the other planets.
Absolutely. And this country belongs to all of us. So what happens to anyone in this country is also happening to us.
Absolutely.
We need to think a lot more of ourselves in this country as a cohesive whole and less as divided, fragmented parts of something.
A couple months ago when I was channeling Merlin, and I have to try to recall what he said. It had to do with voting. He said that basically this country will right itself when people, individuals, vote for the needs of the people versus their personal needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When people vote for what's right for the masses, things will change. Came from Merlin.
Merlin said, get out and rock the vote, people. Well, and I think when people take pride in the fact that a vote is a privilege and that we were set up by our forefathers so that everybody could have their opinion. So however you vote, just vote.
Right.
Just go out and participate so you can feel like you're an active participant. I think we kind of float through life now sometimes, Nick, not feeling like we're active participants in anything, right? We have homes we're never in. We have children that we never speak to. We put our earbuds in and push them and never talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
We have pets that we don't let in the house. We're part of this beautiful democracy, but we don't vote. We don't participate in our own communities. I mean, we've become disconnected from our own lives. And it's a privilege to be connected to your life.
It is. And as we have gone, you know, in the last chunk of years into the Aquarian Age, there's a lot of evolution that has to do with the Aquarian Age, which is ruled by Uranus. But because Aquarius also rules the high-end electronics and the techie kinds of things, because the glyph for Aquarius is those waves, and people refer to Aquarius as the water bearer. But, you know, in the annals of astrology, those waves are also electrical waves, too.
Right.
It's not just water. And so what I'm getting to in a long-winded way is that we're becoming a bit too virtual with all the electronics and everything. It's crazy that people, we're getting to a point where you can get a robotic dog.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen it.
So then you're going to be able to get a robotic friend.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not far off.
Right.
We're not far off. Yeah.
So,
I'd like to have a robotic dog and a real dog. But I'm fascinated I'm fascinated with AI.
Oh, it's incredible.
I'm fascinated by it.
And the
similarities between AI and biologically based creatures. Because basically they say, well, you know, a robot's programmed. Well, we're programmed too. We're programmed with things we come to the earth with. And then we're programmed in our upbringing by people. And we're programmed and we are a result of things we see all around us. We're programmed by the media. We're programmed by culture. So there, to me, there's no difference in a robot being programmed and we're being programmed. It's just a different program.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's this intelligence, which is natural.
Right.
Or it's AI. Intelligence figures things out. Intelligence grows.
Yeah.
And so
I want to have a robot friend just to see what it's like.
That'd be fascinating.
And I always say, how long until the robots decide we don't want to like drive your Ubers and clean your houses anymore? We're people. That's my big thing that I talk about a lot. I don't think I've talked about it here, but I talk about it on my shows a lot. If spirit puts a soul into us at the time of our creation, then what's to say spirit doesn't put a soul into a robot at the time of their creation? because spirit is not biological. So why do only biological people get souls? That's something the philosophers are going to start to think about when AI people become part of our world.
Well, the robots, the intelligence, is created by man. So there is something soulful that's going into
But who's to say that they aren't created by man, but they also have a soul that's, that spirit gave them? So that's why I want to have a robot dog and see if I can find the soul.
That's funny. To be determined.
Yes,
to be,
exactly.
Well, we're growing in intelligence. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But we have to work on evolving in consciousness as people. That's the trick. And what you were saying a few minutes ago, we are very caught up in, you know, everything that we do as opposed to we're not necessarily interacting.
Right.
And you see it all the time. In fact, my wife, Audrey, has been part of this group. Well, one is called Insight to Teen Culture, but there's also another side group of that she was interacting with called Screenagers. And it has to do with kids, you know, too much on their screens, whether it's the phone or the computer, whatever it is. It's an issue. It's a big issue.
Yeah.
And it's become it's scary in that it's this all-encompassing source of entertainment. And of course, when you and I were kids, that didn't exist. We went out and played tag and ran and played wiffle ball in someone's backyard. And
then we came home and sat in front of the TV a lot, and people complained that was going to ruin our eyes and fry our brains. And now it's just a different kind of screen.
Yeah,
you know?
It is. Except what we watched back then was different. We don't see Leave It to Beaver anymore in shows like that.
Yeah. Well.
Let's say it was simpler.
Yeah.
I mean, back in those days, this is funny. In the original Dick Van Dyke Show with Mary Tyler Moore, they slept in separate beds.
Right. And somebody always had to have their foot on the bed if they were on the same bed.
Right.
You could never be in the same bed. But I grew up in the 70s, so my idea of, you know, what was culturally okay was you board the love boat, you meet somebody, you have sex with them, you fall in love, you get in a fight, and then you make up, and then it's the third day and you're back in Los Angeles. So that's, you know what I mean?
Love boat.
So 70s children, we grew up with kind of a much different thing because, and we definitely did not inherit the world we thought we were going to inherit. By the time the 80s came around, everything was bad for you. Everybody was killing. Everything was killing you. The world changed a lot. The artistic freedom of the 70s was gone, replaced by the corporatization of the 80s. I think it's why all kids from the 70s were a little wonky.
Well, in the 70s, especially the mid to late 70s, that was the disco era.
Oh, yeah.
And at that point, I was in clubs a lot.
Okay.
I was a DJ in clubs.
Oh. You were my hero. You were what I wished I was going to be.
Thank you. And I was a competitive disco dancer.
Nice. How did I know, Nick?
Right.
Nice.
And so that it was, what I'm getting at is it was very carefree.
Mm-hmm.
When we had jobs, we had regular jobs during the day. But when we went out, everything, once you stepped inside that club and the music was gone and the lights were gone and you know, and what was funny, the bartender knew who you were.
Yeah.
The bartenders knew everybody. The nights that I was playing in clubs, when you were a disco DJ, you were the king.
Mm-hmm.
You owned that club. It was such a cool feeling. Talk about an ego boost.
Well, talk about a decade when music was everything.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever kind of music you liked, music was everything.
Yep.
Culture was everything. Movies were everything. People camped out to see movies. I mean, everything was about, people stayed home and had big parties and waited for new TV shows to debut.
Right.
I mean, it was all about pop culture ruled the world. And with that came a lot of creative and free expression that we hadn't had before.
And the concept of the music and the dancing was I can't say it was spiritual, but it was very spirited.
Oh yeah,
you know.
I think there's a spirituality in just letting loose and having fun.
Well, we're supposed to have fun.
Yeah,
I mean that's true. I mean the archangel Raphael, he's known as the healer, but he's also the one with the sense of humor.
Yeah.
He's funny. And
he's
so,
a disco DJ.
Welcome to Raphael's.
When you go, when you, he's spinning when you go to heaven.
Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. Now, we're this is an interesting tangent. I didn't know we were going there. So when I was in Pittsburgh, was still in Pittsburgh in those days. And so they took this really old movie theater that was really cool, gutted it, and they turned it into this incredible club called Heaven.
Nice.
And it was amazing. And you just, they had this marble dance floor, and there were these big marble steps that went up to the rooms where you could eat or whatever, private rooms. And the place was incredible. It was heaven. And they would have people that walked around. I mean, the 70s were the beginning of the costumes and all that. And
yeah,
so there
sure.
Be, you know, men or women walking around with angel wings, and it was cool.
That's awesome.
And then as you really got deep into the night, then all of a sudden the confetti cannons would go off and stuff is coming down on you. And there was the dry ice. And then the feathers, the actual feathers would come down. This is like, whew,
see how sad I am that I was too young for this. This is what I thought was going to happen to me when I turned 18. I would be able to go to clubs like that.
Oh, we don't have it like that.
No.
You know, when they talk about old school and all that, I lived that. And anything that they mimic now doesn't even come close to the experience of what I had. And I will say, having lived that, there was a level within some circles of the 70s. I mean, especially if you watch the movie Studio 54,
sure.
You know, that, which is it's sort of a docudrama kind of thing, even though it's fictional, but it's not. There was a high level of promiscuity, a very active second chakras.
Of course.
But there was also a level of, you know, common sense too. Not everyone was losing their mind back then. And there were a lot of people that went to the clubs because they weren't looking to have sex. They were looking to go out and dance and have a good time. And you know, we lost partner dancing. You know, in the 40s, 50s, so to speak, you know, jitterbug and all that. And the 70s brought back touching your partner, the late 70s, and doing all that stuff.
Yeah, we need that to come back. We need more people touching each other in a healthy way.
In a healthy way.
Yes.
Right.
Hashtag not me too.
So
we need people being because we're pulling so much into this box that we're stopping to relate each with each other because we're all about being in the box now.
When that's funny, you would say that. So when I channel Merlin, you know, I don't know what's going on. Then I come in and people tell me what he said. So Merlin refers to when people watch TV, he says, when you sit in front of the box, that's what he calls the box.
It is
the box. Funny you
it's
would
a little
say
box.
That.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're so invested in it, right? It was interesting to, I was at four different parties Thanksgiving weekend. So I go to see all members of my family at different times. My spirit family. I don't have any biological family. And it's interesting how we eat. It used to be we ate and then everyone went out and smoked. Now everybody eats. And as soon as we're at the place where the food starts to digest, people used to get up and smoke. Now everybody pulls out their box. Right. And then everybody just sits in silence with their box. And then somebody will bring up like, hey, we should talk about something. And then people will, oh, yeah, blah, 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 for a couple minutes. Then everybody goes back to their box. So it kind of is our drug of choice now. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's a library in here. There's a music library. There's a video. There's fascinating things in this box that I love. But it doesn't replace human interaction. We need to have both things.
There was a book that was written 15 to 20 years ago. Time's going by fast, called Soft Addictions. And it has to do, and I recommend people take a look at that book, Soft Addictions. It has to do with all the stuff that we do that's not harmful, but we do, like, say, watching too much TV or being on your phone too much. And it points out a lot of stuff that it's good for us to take a look at, because as we do things automatically, because they become part of habit, those become unconscious things. That we're just doing that, you know, and we need to sort of wake up a bit, because we're at a point in the way we're designed that 88% of what we do is subconscious, 12% of what we do is conscious. And it's like that great poster of the iceberg, where most of the iceberg, you can see it below the surface, mm-hmm. and you see the peak of it that's above the water. Well, that's us, subconscious versus conscious. And we have to be careful, instead of 88-12, that we don't 90-10.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go 85-15.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look at how we can shift that so we're more awake and aware and not inside there so much.
Yeah. You know, there's plenty of time to be in here and also be out of here. There's time for both. And I highly recommend a life of both. I'm not a fan of like, I don't have a phone and I never. Okay. Well, if you don't want to know what's going on in the world, that's fine.
Right.
But there's a balance. Human beings have a problem with balance. Well, finding that balance is one of the, to find balance in your life is really how you get on your path. That's such a fast track to enlightenment.
Our center in Agora, which you're going to be there Sunday.
I'm going to be there Sunday. Yes, I am. Hi.
So our place is called the Newmont Center for Balanced Living. Thank you. And what our logo was born out of, first of all, there's, when people have readings, there's basically four areas of life that they want to know about.
Mm-hmm.
Love, success and abundance, their health, and some facet of joy. And that's, it's like this, these four spokes, but there's a circle in the middle of our logo where all those spokes come to, and that we equivocate to like a four-sided teeter-totter in a park.
Mm-hmm.
That center circle is spirit or faith or whatever you call that. So when we're out of balance and we're on the teeter-totter, what we do is overcompensate. So instead of going to the center, we don't have enough love, but success is good. Then we go over here and we cause that contraption to tilt.
Yeah.
The way to fix that, the way to create balance, is not to go after more of what you're lacking. It's to come to center of the self and get back into spirit, get back into yourself. You know, own what makes you who you are, not what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And then there's the balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Want to elaborate on it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. I don't even know what else to say, except I'm sure I'll find something.
I threw it at you. Sorry.
I think that that we're taught as three-dimensional beings to go out and grab a life, you know, grab that job and, you know, grab that mate and grab that money. We're not taught to sort of find, you know, as Buddha said, right, if the string is too tight, it breaks the guitar. If it's too loose, it won't play. Where we need to find that place in us where we can feel that sort of isness inside of us. And when we get to that place, universe just plunks down through our crown chakra, right? All the things that we want, but we're not grabbing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is also the balance, Nick. One of our hardest places to find balance is the balance between our spirit self and our mammal self. Between your spiritual existence and your three-dimensional existence, and finding a way to blend those two things and find balance. Especially, I think, when people first become seekers, because they're all about becoming spiritually activated and spiritually evolved, but they haven't learned yet how to apply it to their own three-dimensional lives. So they sort of feel like, well, I'm doing this and I'm meditating and I sleep with a crystal, and how come this isn't working in my life? It's like, well, because you have to find ways to apply your newfound enlightenment into your three-dimensional life. And it's hard because, you know, we're mammals.
Right.
We're fallible biological creatures. We get sick, things break. Mm-hmm. But also we have that angry primate self, right? We don't always handle things so well.
Mm-hmm.
Your spiritual side does. Your spiritual side can say namaste, and then you're what's that? I love that expression. I meditate, I do yoga, and I still want to kick somebody. You know, you have that mammal side of yourself, and it's finding that balance between those two. It's all about balance.
And we have to learn that in the way that our ancestors have put it, in terms of spirituality, which morphed into religion,
mm-hmm.
is that where guilt comes into play.
Mm.
We're supposed to have it all. We can have it all. We just have to know within ourselves that we can do that.
Yes.
And we have all these self-imposed limitations of what we're taught, and we can't that, and you can't this, and to get that, you've got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets in the way of manifestation. You know, when I do my Christmas Eve show, I'm going to talk about a concept. I'm going to save it for then, is the Santa Claus theory, and where we need to go back to as adults so we can manifest again. Because what we were taught as kids worked, and we've got to go back and create that. But we also have to integrate into our spiritual self in a pure way, not forced or not guilt-ridden. You know, in other words, just be with it in a more natural way. There's so much that's thrown at us now, when there's so much that's offered in an alternative way now. And everything that you do, everything that I do, and all the modalities that are out there, and all the healers and astrologers, and you know, and spiritual churches, non-denominational churches that try to make a good effort of removing guilt, so people don't feel like you have to do that, and trying to eliminate the word sinner and all of this stuff, and we're having to release. And some of us release stuff that's built in us for decades.
Right.
You know, and then passed down through, which decades before that. And we're all at this point where we're kind of scratching our heads going, trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it comes to evolving, and this is something that Merlin told me a long time ago, that the concept of spirituality for we humans in this bag of bones, it's sort of a mind trick.
Yeah.
Because when you're getting into whatever you get into, and it could be the most advanced metaphysical, quantum physical topics, and it's way beyond what a lot of other people think about while they're having their coffee, what Merlin said was, but when you stop growing, no matter how advanced that is, now you've created dogma.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you come to, all right, this is it, now it's not, you're not growing, and it's dogma, it's religion.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that's the trick of spirituality with mankind. Because we feel so good about when we get into advanced things, and we feel so good about learning new things and getting into spiritual concepts and philosophies. But as soon as we're comfortable, then now we've created a belief system, and we're not expanding. And it's like, but I'm doing the best I can, right?
Well, I think we're always looking for a place to stop. You know, people, they want to retire. How can I make enough money that I don't have to worry about it again? How can I get in that relationship that I never have to get out of? We always want to know what the end game is.
Mm-hmm.
And with spirituality, the end game is there's no end game.
Well, we do have an expiration date.
Right.
Humans.
Well, this incarnation has an expiration date.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's the end game. When you die, that's when you get it all. but you know, even for our souls, we don't, because we come back in my ideology, we come back and then we do it again. So we're always in flow, and the best, most beautiful things happen to you when you stay in flow. But humans are always looking for, okay, well, this growing is great. When do I get to stop growing? And you never. The answer is you never stop growing.
Right.
It never ends, and that's the beauty of it.
Right.
You know, it's like service. When I explain service to people, and I talk about service a lot, as a spiritual practitioner and as a minister, I speak a lot about service. There's this idea that service means you have to renounce all your worldly possessions, right? Never love anybody. And you're just going to wander around like Kung Fu, who always looked depressed and lonely, from town to town, helping people, but never having any kind of connection. Every once in a while, maybe one of the nice villagers will make you a hot meal, and that's all you get. That's not what service is. You know, I have a wonderful life. I live in service. I don't even know what I'm going to do tomorrow, Nick. I just wait for someone to tell me where I'm going next. But I have a fantastic life. I have great friends. I have a wonderful pet. I have beautiful homes. I have a wonderful, fantastic car. It doesn't mean that we can't have all the three-dimensional things we want and also be in service, because in abundance consciousness, there's room for both of those things.
There is. And when you were referring to Kung Fu, that was good, because what I didn't see in that character was joy.
No.
And joy is that fourth component of, you know, love, success,
yes,
physical health. joy needs to be in there.
Poor guy never smiled. I mean, he just wandered around from town to town and horrible things happened. Fights would break out everywhere he went, or people in distress. Service doesn't mean you don't get to have your own wonderful life. And I always describe service as this. So if you have a 4-day shift as you're a firefighter, most of that time, you just like make spaghetti for the other firefighters and pet the Dalmatian. But then every once in a while, the buzzer goes off and you slide down the pole and you fight the fire. Mm-hmm. So living a life of service doesn't mean you're constantly in struggle. It just means you're always on duty and you'll get called by universe when you're needed.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well put. So let's shift for a moment. Let's talk about this coming Sunday.
Please.
Where you're going to be there. This coming Sunday at the Newmont Center in Agoura Hills, it's called Sunday with the Psychics, or is that a Hot Psychic Sunday?
I like it, yeah.
With hot fudge and ice cream.
Yeah, exactly. I like that, a hot psychic Sunday.
And in joining us will be Wendy, good psychic, and Sheena will be there and myself. And we're there from 11 to 6. You can go to my Facebook page. You can go to Meetup. You can get information from Sheena's page.
Sure, absolutely.
And if you want more information, you can call me at 818-865-8770, or you can call Sheena at
818-437-0886. You can send me a text anytime. If I go to sleep, my phone does too. So feel free to contact me whenever you want.
So we're looking forward to Sunday. It's not the full expo like we had in October. So it's not all that hullabaloo. It's the four of us just doing private readings.
Beautiful.
For people, and I know people are responding. When people come in, and this is a very general question, as we're getting to the holidays, as we're getting into the new year, you know, is there a theme that you seem to be addressing for people? Are there general questions this time of year? And what are you telling people?
I think this is a time of year where people reflect on the 12 months prior and tend to sort of sum up the major issues they've dealt with, and they want to know why this has happened or that has happened, and they want to know if next year is going to be better. I just did 4 hours of psychic readings on the air before I came here today, and I mean, 75% was, this year was hard for me. Is next year going to be better? And I really believe 2020 is going to be better. But I think this is a time that makes you take stock in what was this year like. And I find that on a spiritual level, Nick, each year sort of has its own theme. Mm-hmm. Each year, spirit is trying to show you something. It's not always January 1st to January 1st. Sometimes it's, my birthday's April 2nd. Sometimes it's April 2nd to April 2nd.
Very true.
But there's a 12-month period. There's something magical about the number 12 in spirituality. There's a 12-month period where spirit is trying to teach you something. And I think this is the time where it's like, well, did I get it? I mean, this is like finals week, right? Mm-hmm. Did I get what I was trying to be told? Right. And I asking myself, everybody, I'm still, am I getting it? Because I definitely have had a year like that too of spirit saying, this is what you're doing this year.
When you do the numerology, just as the year 2019, that comes out to 12 over 3. And that kind of year on a pure numerological level has a lot to do with establishing people in your life. Mm-hmm. And 1 and 2, one is male, 2 is female. Mm-hmm. So it's learning how to subjectively, that's what a lot of people did, objectively working things out with people. And when you get into the number 3 numerologically, that has to do with communication. It gets into drama and things like that. And there was a lot of drama with people.
Yes, it was a very drama year.
So when we go into 2020, 2 and 2 is 4. That's stability, okay? Mm. That's where everything is. That's sort of where you tear down.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, you tear down. Now you start rebuilding.
Yes.
And so there will be a bit more, once we get past what I was talking about astrologically in January, so you do tear down a bit, but now you're starting to rebuild on a solid foundation.
Yeah, and we need that.
Yeah, we do need that. And it's a bit of irony in you know, holding your vision. I mean, it is a 2020 year. Having a 2020 vision. And that's what I encourage people that are watching or listening, is as you start to think about your New Year's intentions, not resolutions. Resolutions are mental treadmills. Intentions, people.
Yes, intent. Resolutions are just set you up for disaster.
Right. It's you're chasing the carrot.
Yeah.
So
you're going out and grabbing the life instead of letting universe drop things down into your periphery.
Exactly. So look at what's your 2020 vision, and that's that play on words is, are you going to see things clearly in the year ahead?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we need to do. We need to have clarity, especially when people are talking about change and whatever that change is, again, in your personal life, to create change, you've got to see where you're going. Like my wife always says, she uses the concept of the car in her analogies with her clients. And it's, do you see where you're going, or are you driving with a muddy windshield?
Mm.
And so it's a very beautiful analogy. So we do need to have a 2020 vision.
Yeah, it's time.
And hold this vision for everyone that, of course, we know that there are people that are struggling. There are people less fortunate than us.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to hold a vision for the planet that we're stabilizing, and everyone can go, okay,
mm-hmm.
All right, I don't have to be buzzing around like a hornet's nest.
Yeah, exactly.
So what else do you tell people, in a time like this going into a new year?
Not to give up. I spend a lot of time telling people to have hope, have faith. It's going to be okay. Universe loves you and wants the best for you. I think this is a hard time of year. People get sad. This is a time of year where people think about, how much family do I have? Everyone who's passed. Why am I not in a relationship right now? All of those things. The holidays bring that up, because you turn on the television and everybody's married and everybody's house is warm and everybody's got 3 kids and everything's wonderful and there's tons of presents everywhere. And then people think, well, wait a minute, what is my life? My life isn't that. So I think this is a time to take stock in what's beautiful about your life. I always have clients tell me, whether they're new clients or return clients, tell me what's beautiful about your life right now. Because we don't spend enough time. We live in a world where we're taught to ask for what we don't have, right? What's the vision board? Things we don't have. What's for the meditation? Things we don't have. What is praying for? Things we don't have. We don't take enough stock in what we do have.
Well, and and you can't get more until you recognize and take ownership of what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's basic gratitude and appreciation. And I think that can be challenging for a lot of people because it's not just about thank you, and in my upbringing, I had to learn that. It wasn't, I always say thank you, but the concept of understanding gratitude on a much deeper level.
Mm.
That's something that I had to learn what that
yeah.
is. Because it isn't just about gratitude when someone says, here is a gift. It's more about who other people are and what they bring.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that's sort of lost in a way.
Sure.
Because we're very polite and very mannered. Thank you. May I please? Sure. But it's something that I've had to learn, is that deeper part of that's about people and the gratitude of the individuals around.
Absolutely. Yeah. So true.
For people that I want to offer this for people who, have rough days, one of the best things that you can do is call a release the day meditation, because we're talking about acknowledging what we have. When you lie in bed at night, lie there and imagine your day when you got up in the morning, like you're watching your DVR playing on fast forward. And every time that you have a rough moment, just stop it, freeze it, reframe it. In other words, see it differently so that you feel better about whatever that rough moment was. Then fast forward again. And every time that you have a rough moment, do that same process until you get to the point where you were where you were before you got into bed, and see yourself getting into bed and feel yourself climbing into you. When you release the day, you will sleep better, you'll feel better, and you won't wake up in the morning going, oh my God, I got to deal with this. And when you do wake up in the morning, put your feet on the floor and just be in a moment of gratitude.
Absolutely.
For where everything is, because we are in a time, like every day, we hit the ground running.
Mm,
there's always somewhere to go, something to do. And as I look at the clock, the something we got
to
do.
Something to go and something to do. We got to go and be gone.
Exactly. So thank you, Sheena,
as
always.
Thank you, sweetheart. Always a joy to be here.
I'll see you on Sunday.
You will.
Sunday at the Newmont Center in Agoura Hills. You can Facebook us. You can also email me at nnewmont@gmail.com and email Sheena at...
Sheena@iamraisingyourvibration.com.
This has been a blast, as
Love
always.
Love being here with you, my friend.
And back at you. I'll see you again. Okay?
You bet.
Here.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Good night, everyone.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.